Tell me a little bit about your background, like how you got into this field.
So I'm a infectious disease trained internist, and I guess the fields that we're talking about are both sort of medical education within the context of internal medicine, and maybe a little bit of informatics. So I play roles within all those three things at the university. I sort of work in a group where I get to design software and work with the programmers to make it a reality, as well as I have responsibilities in medical education, particularly with third-year students and with medical residents, in terms of teaching responsibilities.
Okay. Tell me just the backgrounds of this experiment that y'all ran. How would you describe it to Joe Blow?
So, in essence, I think as a background, it's important to note that medical education has changed over the last, particularly the last 10, 15 years. And the representation of that is new work hours are in place for education. And the work hours are really important in terms of how long people stay in the hospital. And certainly, legislation came out for truck drivers about how long they can drive continuously. And a lot of studies sort of show that if you're working under no sleep conditions, your decision making is impaired. Somebody eventually thought that this was a good idea for the medical profession, which I gotta say, yes, I agree with it. Sad things happened, and certainly these new regulations among how many continuous hours residents can work were put in place, the first generation of them in 2004. These things are, I think that they're great for patient care, they're great for patient outcomes. But the rest of us didn't really catch up in terms of education. These new regulations coming online didn't really mean that we revised the educational process or that we thought about how can we teach as much as we've taught now with less time in the hospital. So I think a group of us got together and were talking about that. We were talking about the fact that we were rounding, we were paying attention to the work hours, and we were thinking, boy, this is a great time to teach about this physical exam finding or this aspect of the case. But I got 50 minutes before I got to get my residents home, according to the work hours. So you know what? I'm going to do this tomorrow. You always found out that a couple of weeks later, you had what we called a stack of tomorrows of things that you were going to get to, but you never actually did, that were just sitting there. And you really, when you compare that to the educational experience that I got as a resident, where I could keep raising my hand and saying, I still don't get it. And someone would hit the blackboard, they would explain it to me yet a third or a fourth time. I can't offer that to the residents now if I'm going to be mindful of their time, of the work hour requirements, and that's a new layer of complexity in terms of residency training, which the educational aspect of residency didn't adjust to.
Very interesting. So, I mean, basically, it's a trade-off. I mean, it's good for patient care to have, and it's good for the young doctors to have people awake and living a sort of a more humane existence. They're not making as many sleep deprivation judgment errors. But at the same time, I mean, you lose out on all those hours. Is that basically, it's that kind of trade-off? Is that it?
Yeah, particularly just I don't have time to say, I would ask my attending before, gosh, I really don't understand how that medication works on the renal system. And he would get up on the white chalkboard and he'd draw out a whole renal filtration system. And he would sort of show me, look, this medicine acts here. This is how this works. And this is why the effect of this medicine is such. That would be a 10, 15-minute process. That was no problem. Now, I don't have the luxury of that time if I want to finish the same amount of work in a more restricted set of time. Something has got to give. And sadly, the impression of the three of us who got together was that sometimes what gave was education. And I think the concern really is that we were trained and educated in a way that we don't really feel like we can offer that anymore because we don't have as much time available to us. And what adjustments have to be made haven't been made. And this really was a self-reflection of, are we really training these folks as well as we were trained? And with the new requirements, what new approaches can we bring to their education to make sure that we're still doing a really good job of training these doctors the way that the folks who trained us did a really great job with us?
Right. And you think so this software-delivered sort of game that uses psychology to kind of trick kids to get motivated into it, I mean, that's the solution that y'all came up with. You can put it better than I just did.
Well, I mean, in essence, we were looking for a way to make the education not be just restricted to the time that we had available to go with it to teach our house staff one-on-one on the wards. We really wanted to put the education out there in a way that they could access it at any time. Now, the question there is, of course, these folks have ample resources online that they can access at any given time. So why would they use our resource as opposed to other resources? So how do you answer that question? Why this? And then we took ideas from the field of gamification. And the gamification basically talks about taking the mechanics of game design and applying them to other processes to kind of hold interest and increase participation. Now, we figured that physicians, by their nature, many of them are fairly competitive folks. They're either competitive with themselves or competitive with their peers. And certainly putting this in the language that tapped into the fun of playing a board game together or playing any type of game together and saying, guys, here's team one, here's team two, here's a leaderboard, here's how everybody's doing, let's go ahead and compete. That was the principles from gamification applied into medical education in a population of folks who love to compete anyway, just seemed to be a real good marriage of principles to engage folks.
Got it. Tell us a little about how the game actually works.
So we set up a competition, right? And we created different teams of residents. We decided to publish two questions a day. The questions were really, we identified teachers that the residents said, these guys are just great teachers. And we went to those folks and just said, can you write us some questions? And the point of view we want you to have in your question is, how can I, if I were to work with you, what were the 10 things that you absolutely think would benefit me as a general medicine practitioner to know about your subspecialty area? And they went ahead and they would write these questions. The questions were supposed to be concise, compact, and be really leading towards a clear teaching point. We really wanted our folks to know, and they answered a question, you need to know this specific thing about the management of this condition. Each question was followed by a succinct, about a paragraph, with really what you need to know, what I want you to take away from this that's going to make you a better doc when you take care of patients with illnesses within my specialty. So really getting these questions to be written in that way, very streamlined, very focused on the educational point we wanted people to take away. The idea was that if you're stepping into the elevator, you can bring one of these up 2 or 3 minutes later. You can have answered it and read the teaching point and gotten off that elevator on another floor knowing some significant fact that's going to help you treat patient management. We didn't want to ask about esoteric things. We really want to ask management-type questions or diagnostic-type questions that could really translate directly into the type of work that these folks are doing every day, taking care of patients on the wards. So now we have this great question bank. It's focused. We're using humor wherever we can just to make it fun and get people engaged and get them to laugh. And then the way that the game is designed is two of these questions come out every day. Folks log on individually. They answer their questions. And at the same time, each one of them is in a team. Every person logs in. They see their team score and position in the leaderboard relative to the others. And they see their own position in the leaderboard, and they see the 5 people that are ahead of them and the 4 people that are just, so to speak, right about to catch them breathing down their neck. So right away, you see the leaderboard, your position, and where your peers are relative to you. Beside that, you will see what we call your marathon, which is how many days in a row have you signed on and did your questions. We wanted to reward consistency. So within the marathon streak, when you reach 10 days, 15 days, and 26 days, we would give you a marathon badge and extra points. So that's your next column. First of all is your name, your score, your marathon streaks, followed by the next column being your hot streaks. How many questions in a row had you gotten correct? And as well there, we have rewards about if you get 10, 20, or 30 questions correct in a row, you get an extra badge and you get extra points. All of these led to your score. Your score turned into bringing you up different levels. Initially, everybody starts out with no level. Eventually, you make it to the level of Petri dish. If you get to be a Petri dish and you get a set of other questions right, you got crutches. Eventually, the final badge we had was a coffee lord, which was someone who had really answered just a great number of questions correctly and had a really high score.
That's like resident or med student humor there.
Yeah, it's not funny for most people, but we think it's hilarious.
I think it's funny. I empathize enough to know what it means. That's funny. Okay, so it sounds fascinating. Who actually designed the software? Who did the coding, like the real hardcore computer work for y'all?
So at UAB, there's a CCTS, or a CTSA rather, a Clinical Translation of Science Award. And the role of this award is to really do things to foster the just science across UAB. And under the leadership of Robert Kimberly, we have a CTSA award. And within it, we approached Matt Wyatt and some of his programmers and really had a programmer that just took to the idea. A gentleman by the name of Don Dempsey. Don is a guy who's always had a great interest in medicine and sort of had his soul torn between whether being a doc or being a programmer, and being the programmer eventually won out. But the idea that he could have a hand in medical education really sort of appealed to him. Don is also a bit of an artist, so he can draw some pretty nice-looking and funny badges for us. So he was an ideal choice. Not only did he have the coding background to make these from ideas to realities, but he also as well had the interest in medical education, and he had sort of the graphical design talents to make us some pretty great badges.
Tell me what the status of the paper is and where it is now.
So it's being evaluated in the Postgraduate Medical Education Journal, and they've asked us for a revise and resubmit, which means that we respond to a lot of the suggestions that the reviewers showed. We present a more polished up version of the paper, and that's considered for publication.
I've seen some reporting on research that shows video games can help surgeons specifically with their hand dexterity. But as far as you know, are there any other groups trying to show that video games can help with general medical education?
I think that there's been some work in terms of putting questions out for residents and having them answering and compete with them. I think one of the things that made our study unique is that we were able to work closely with the programmers and apply those principles of gamification in it and really make a complete package. Where we really tied in, got content from, you know, the great educators at UAB, got able to present that content in a cohesive software program where the residents competed against their peers, and certainly worked hard to make this part of the culture of the residency program. We had great support from Lisa Willett and Jason Morris, who are the leaders of a residency program, to go ahead and not just sort of advocate for it in their conferences, but certainly at the end of year graduation, we presented awards and we made up some plaques about who was the best performer in the first year class, in the second year class, in the third year class, and really make it feel a little bit like an event and part of the residency culture. We have a plaque on the wall of the Tinsley Harrison Internal Medicine Residency Program up there, where the plaque has sort of six plates on it, and the winning team for the first season has all their names on that plate. The winning team for the second season will soon be engraved, and we'll be announcing that here in graduation.
Well, speaking of good things, I've done a couple stories lately on this very serendipitous convergence of different technologies. And this strikes me, this might be one of those stories, because first of all, you've got the sort of context of, okay, these young doctors, these trainees, their hours have been limited. And most people agree that's a good idea. So you've got that combined with now everyone walks around with a web-capable computer in their hands. I mean, is this just an idea whose time has come?
So it's funny you should say that, because one of the things as we were discussing, well, how do we teach folks in this age? And I think that's another germane question. These are millennials. These are this generation of folks who grew up from technology. There are some lines between the way that these folks grew up and the way that I grew up. Technology was something that eventually became a part of my daily life. It wasn't something that was there from the get-go. And I think if you look at the medical education literature, there's a lot of talk about, look, these folks have a different familiarity with technology compared to some of their predecessors. So can we take advantage of that to present information in new and novel ways to engage them? And I think that this approach allows us to meet them where they are. The other half of that is that I always remember, as a resident myself, I used to carry around a Palm Pilot. And when you're on the resident team, there's two of you. There's two interns, two first years, and each one of you kind of roughly has half the patients. And boy, I was having it was challenging enough to keep up with my half of the patients. When my colleague was presenting their patients, I was usually on my Palm Pilot trying to figure out what game I could play to stay awake. And certainly that led to all kinds of trouble. You can't play Space Invaders or Pac-Man. People realize when the game gets intense that you're not paying attention. But certainly blackjack, you can play all day. So I used to sit there sort of playing blackjack while the other intern, and I apologize to all of my attendings during that time. I'm sure that if they listen to this, they'll be like, oh, that's what you were doing. I thought you were looking up medication doses. But the stunning thing is that now I'm sitting there and I'm the attending. I'm the old man. And I'm looking at them and I know they're on Facebook. I can see that they're on Facebook. I know that they're texting their buddies. But a part of me sort of figured, really? If I say something about that, how hypocritical will that be? Thinking back to what I was doing when I was an intern. But I said, aha, sure, this technology was a distraction, but but maybe there's a way to make it an asset in your education.
Well put. One last question for you.
Tell me about what your group calls the game software. Why Kaizen Internal Medicine? What does Kaizen mean?
So reading about sort of the Japanese quality improvement literature, I think this is a concept that comes from the assembly line of some Japanese auto companies. And it basically means that every one of us working on a product has a responsibility to find a small part of the process that we can make better every day. If you think of a health system, every one of those allied health professionals works together, and they all have parts of things that they can fix. So I think that concept has a natural corollary in healthcare. The other corollary that I believe it has is that we spend a lot of time teaching folks in medical school that one of the most important things they need to learn is that they're always going to have to work hard to remain constant. I believe that if you walk out of medical school having really inculcated that principle of lifelong learning, that this is a commitment to getting better, that to provide good care, you have to invest in your knowledge base continuously for the rest of your life. To me, that was a great corollary to the concept of Kaizen. I show up to work, I'm a professional, I can make things better every day. Maybe that's the process, maybe it's my own knowledge base, but I thought that those two concepts had a very nice resonance with each other. So calling it Kaizen Internal Medicine, in my mind, is bridging those two concepts together about how we all have a responsibility to get better.